Pray with me, please. Your word, O God, is living and active, a powerful means by which you speak to us. Give us ears to hear what you are saying rather than hearing only what we want to hear. Give us courage to measure our attitudes and actions by your truth and the desire to align our lives by your call to love one another as ourselves. Light us with your spirit and set our hearts ablaze with the yearning to know you and love you ever more deeply. In Jesus' name, amen. My reading this morning begins with everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. John is saying faith in Jesus as the Christ, the anointed, the Holy Son of God, is a sign of being born of God. That is, born again. This is important enough to John that he used the very same terminology again in chapter 4, verse 7, saying that everyone who loves is born of God. John continues saying, if you love a parent, you love that parent's children. That statement alone may stop us in our tracks. Just because I love a parent, does it follow that I will love that parent's children? I love all our kids, including our oldest daughter, but I'm not so thrilled with her youngest son. Nonetheless, even though I get annoyed by his behaviors, the truth is I do love him. Own family. What about my church family? If I love the parent, do I also love the child? Well, I gotta be honest here. As brothers and sisters in Christ, and because you have been born of God, I do love all of you, and your kids, and even your grandkids, even if they might misbehave. I might not be so thrilled with everyone's behaviors, but I do love you simply because you are born of God. In this scripture, John is just finding one more way of stressing the importance of Christians loving one another. Loving God and loving people are two different yet inseparable things. As we've heard many times before, as we've worked our way through most of 1 John, there is basically two commandments, loving God and loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. If we love God, we will love one another. We love because God first loved us. The one affects or brings about the other. Love begets love. And John says these commandments are not burdensome. Not because the commands are easy, but because of our new birth. When we're born of God, the Holy Spirit who enters our hearts enables us to obey. And that enables us to overcome the world. Faith enables us to have victory over the world's sinful patterns of life. We are able to live in obedience to God. So John continues, who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. John is setting up a critical teaching in his circular letter to all believers. He's continuing to try to correct those false teachings that have been cropping up. You remember a few weeks ago I talked about the Gnostics. Well, one of their thoughts was that Jesus was simply a human being, and that only the Holy Spirit came upon him only at his baptism. And it was then that he became the Christ, only at his baptism. And that the Christ part of him, the divine, godly part of him, departed from him prior to the crucifixion, because the godly part of him could not be killed. On the other hand, some thought that Jesus was only divine. Therefore, he could not and did not suffer and did not truly die. Throughout this letter, John insists that Jesus is the Christ, is God, as well as human. As if straight from Law and Order, John presents his case, complete with testimony from witnesses and physical evidence. Jesus, the Son of God, is the one who came by water and blood. In John's Gospel, when Jesus was speared on the cross, blood and water came out of his body, exactly what would be expected of a normal human being. John is... I'm missing a page. John is simply focusing our attention on the fact that God in Jesus, that Jesus was divine and fully and appropriately human. So the question then is, what do we do with this information? We know, right, because we're believers, that God is divine. We know how God has changed our lives. We know what a difference God, believing in Jesus as Savior, we know what that does for our lives. So why do we keep it a secret? Why don't we go and tell people? Why don't we share the best news that has ever come into our lives? When I go berry picking in Alaska, because I make jam, you all know I make jam. When I go berry picking, people know I'm headed out to go berry picking. I'll even take a picture and post it on Facebook that I'm berry picking. When I get back, people will say to me, "How'd you do?" And I'll say, "Eh, okay." Right? "Really? Where did you go?" "Oh, you know, up on Cleary Summit." No specifics. Because I'm trying to keep those berries for myself. I want to know when I go back to that patch, I'm still going to have some berries on those bushes. Right? What happens when we go to a new restaurant? "Man, have you been to Giraldo's?" Or what's the name of the one that we like? Guido's. If I find a restaurant that I like, I tell everybody, "Have you tried that pizza place called Guido's on the north side of 69, just off the corner of Prescott East Highway? It's right next to Honeyman. Wow, their garlic parmesan breadsticks are to die for." I share it. It's great news. How is it that I don't share this amazing thing that happened to me when Jesus came into my life as Lord and Savior? You can see the difference. We can keep the good news to ourselves like a fisherman with his favorite fishing hole, or we can spread the good news like we do when we find a great restaurant. The choice is up to us. My hope, of course, is that you will choose the latter, right? One does not need to have all the answers to share what Jesus is doing in your life. Instead of just saying to a friend, "Hi, Sarah, how are you?" What would it be like to simply say, "Hi, Sarah, what's God been doing in your life lately?" How hard would it really be to say to someone new in town, "If you're looking for a church, you might like mine. I worship at Mingus View Presbyterian. It's on the corner of Lee and Tawny and just off of Lakeshore by Robert Road. The service is at 10. Sharing the good news is the reason our church is looking for opportunities to interact with our neighbors. How often do you see me gazing out as I'm preaching to you? I'm gazing out to our neighbors because my heart wants to find a connection with our neighbors. It's the most important thing that will happen in their lives. Sharing the good news is our reason that we look to help neighbors. Our mission and stewardship committee is investigating the idea of hosting perhaps, maybe, a community garden right here on our property so that we can have folks entering onto our land and being able to interact with us. It means that we would have people out there not necessarily digging in the dirt. We'd do raised beds. But you would have an opportunity to be there to communicate with our neighbors. We would have signs saying, "Come, help yourself to the garden." We hope to be inviting them to a gathering where we can make some of these plans. That's just one idea. I know there are more ideas out there. We need to just simply think and pray and find out from God what God is asking each of us, not this one to do, not just the elders to do, not just deacons to do, but what can we all do to help in this effort? If we circle back to verse 3 in our reading today, John's letter says, "For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." In fact, we can narrow down God's commandments just to two, as you saw in today's children's sermon. We will love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our souls, and with all our minds. And we will love our neighbors as ourselves. If we love our neighbors as ourselves, how is it that we don't share the best thing that ever happened in our lives? Look, I know that the big E word makes us uncomfortable, but evangelism is really just a $10 word for sharing the good news, for testifying to what God has done and is doing in our lives. If knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior has been a positive in our lives, do we love our neighbors enough to tell them about it? Don't just think about it. Do it. In Jesus' name, amen.